Turn to Colossians 3, everybody, please. I was pretty excited to hear that you had a great discussion last week. That's, I think, really, really important that you get a chance to talk and figure out the actual application as they hit you day to day. From listening to Benj and Brett and others, ideally that kind of hits you with another learning style or another way of working through things with each other. So who knows, maybe we'll try and sprinkle those in as a way to keep connecting and keep making it real. Today is the actual follow-up from chapter 2 that we talked about 2 weeks ago. And today is really, really important. This is one of those life-changing opportunities that I'm pretty convinced we need to take full advantage of. So the little theme is walk in light. Walk in light. But you notice the dot, dot, dots. We need to walk in light of what we've been challenged to do. Walk in light of the perspective that we're going to learn about and hear about today from chapter 3. Don't forget the overall theme. Rise above. There's so much garbage that'll pull us down. So many distractions. So many things in life that'll just hit you upside the head and cause you to struggle. And you guys have been right there with me this week where whether you've had to spend unexpected time in the hospital or with hearing about loved ones passing away or whatever it is, life is very, very uncertain. But we have to rise above. We have to rise above the distractions. We have to rise above the things that get in the way of walking in Christ. And we have to embrace the identity that you have in Christ. So that's going to be a big thing. Don't forget, we need to rise above. It's going to be a daily struggle, and we'll talk about that. Let's read Colossians 3 together. Do you have your Bibles handy? Chapter 3, starting in verse 1. This is the ESV. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you've died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Crucial verses. Packed verses. And if we can get our literally minds wrapped around this idea, if we literally can get our minds in track with what God is calling, life is going to be different. Will it be tough? Absolutely, but it will be different. I want to bring your attention to early in Acts. You had a group of followers of Christ. Christ had ascended to heaven. He had risen again. He had spent some time with them. He had ascended. And you've got several people just on fire for the Lord, telling people about the good news, taking that great commission as serious as life itself, telling over and over with passion and zeal and excitement. You've got a passage where they're brought before the authorities and they're confronted after the authorities realize that, hey, you know, legally we can't really do much to them, but let's give them a good solid beating. And then let them go. And they did that. A good, solid beating. Remember, the people beating them were professionals at inflicting pain. A good, solid beating. And then warned and sent out. And what was their response? Do you remember? Joy. They went away rejoicing, it says, gathering back with the family of God and rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for the gospel. Keep that in mind. It seems out there, but that is the reality for the follower of Christ. There is an opportunity for joy and peace and comfort through anything that comes your way. Anything that comes your way. That's where we've got to get. And that's what this morning is all about. It's all about God saying, hey, this is a chance. This is a chance to have true joy, true fulfillment, and true focus on the only thing that brings true meaning to life. So let's go through it. Don't forget the key verse from chapter 2, or one of the key verses, I'd say. Therefore, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. That's kind of the theme verse of what we talked about 2 weeks ago. Walk in Him. If you've received Christ, if you're a follower of Christ, if you've accepted His free gift of salvation, then walk in Him. Action, right? Chapter 3 shed some very important help on that. If you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. I feel like we can connect these verses with a somewhat popular phrase. The body achieves what the mind believes. The body achieves what the mind believes. Think about that. Think about the power of focus. Who was the athlete that we talked about? In addition to KT, was pretty athletic. But in addition to me, what was the athlete we talked about 2 weeks ago? Michael Phelps. And what was his MO as far as workout? Do you remember some of the details? How many hours a day did he work out? Maybe 6 solid hours a day. How many calories did he burn? Remember? 12,000. 12,000. I like to spend 45 minutes on the exercise bike once a week, whether I need it or not, and I burn a good 250 calories. 12,000 calories. Can you imagine how tired you'd feel after that? He was literally eating 12,000 calories, not to bulk up on weight, but simply to maintain the energy that he was burning through with this solid workout. What was his key, would you think? What do you think drove him? Gold medal. His focus had to be so intense to get up every single morning and tirelessly just burn energy by working out, constantly, 6 days a week. Unbelievable. Focus. That's what this is all about. And his body achieved, didn't it? What his mind believed. He was convinced that he could be the greatest swimmer of all time. He was convinced that he could be the most decorated Olympic swimmer in history. And did he achieve that? The body achieves what the mind believes. And I put forward to you that the reason I'm not walking the walk like I need to walk, the reason you're not walking the walk like you need to walk, is because our minds are out of whack. And we do not have the single focus on the things above where Christ is seated. If we can change our mindset, if we can get our act together and focus on those things, there is enormous victory ahead. Unbelievable success in walking the walk. I think it's pretty cool that even in the realm of athletics, even in the realm of the world that we understand, the concept of visualization is all over the place. Anyone ever seen a Runaway Bride? Remember Bob? What was Bob's big thing? You focus on the end zone. You focus on the end zone. See the end zone. See the end zone. Cafeteria person said, okay, Bob, I'm going to go focus on your eggs. And she went over to scramble them up. But they made fun of him because he was all about this focus. The world knows about focus. The world understands that you achieve what you center your focus on. Well, we cannot be behind on this. If we sincerely need and want to walk the walk, it has to be centered in a focus, an unswerving dedication to the things heavenly, the eternal things, not the things distracting us all around. And so this will be the key theme of today. And as difficult as it maybe seems, don't forget the unbelievable reality of 2 Peter 1, that God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. That in Christ we are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. It's all there for us. The harsh reality is the reason that we do not achieve the walk is because we choose to focus on other things. That has to stop. That has to be redirected. It's time. Let's be the ones that are faithful to change. The body achieves what the mind believes. Let's go again with another point of this verse. Remember, I was a big fan of the outline idea. Why? Because I think it helped with the understanding of the flow of the chapter, the flow of the verses. That'll be the same today, and there's some cool insights that I think we'll be able to share together. If you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Who was Paul writing to when he penned this? Christians, right? The church at Colossae. Those who attested to follow Christ, right? Why does he say, if then you've been raised with Christ? Well, I think there's two reasons. One, it's one of those motivational things. If you are who you say you are, here's the natural outcome of your commitment. If we claim to be followers of Christ, if we claim the name Christians, set our minds on things above, not on things on the earth. That's the automatic outcome of being real about being a follower of Christ. I think there may have been a second thing in there. And it's a bit of a harsh reality. But we know that not every single person that fellowships in a group of believers has automatically received Christ as Savior, have they? And ultimately, there's an exceptionally private relationship between my soul and my Savior. And I would hope that you can be mighty sure in many cases, but we need to understand that that relationship is intimate and in many ways private. And I think this points out that you can't rule out that there are pretenders amongst other Christians. And I think it would do us well to really search our hearts. Really search our hearts. What is the outcome? What is the visible part of someone who's been raised with Christ? What is it? Scripture says you will know them by their fruit. Their fruit. The actions speak far louder than any words that I can profess. And I think there's a reminder here. If you've really been raised with Christ, here's what your life looks like. Your life becomes characterized by an eternal focus. Now, let me be quick to say, you know my life. You know that no one is yet 100% on that. No one is yet perfect, probably far from perfect, right? But ask the question, is your life characterized by eternal focus? And if you've been raised with Christ, that's where we need to get. If you've been raised with Christ, that's what it needs to be about more times than not. No way, in no way, question your faith. Instead, draw motivation from the reality of be who you say you are. Live out the commitment that you verbalize to each other and many others. Set our minds on things above. Benji was sharing about a guy that used to go to Emmaus, and he talked a great talk. He talked about trying out for professional baseball teams. But if you saw the guy play, or even saw him just walk around, you knew that it was not realistic. There were other guys that were pretty much studs. And when you heard about some background in athletics, you had no doubt. What kind of Christians are we? Are we the kind that say we're followers of Christ and people say, yeah, right? Or are we the kind of believers that people say, that's a follower of Christ? It all comes down to focus. Mandy's learning to do jumps on the neighbor's trampoline. Fine with the neighbors having a trampoline, you know, it's good. They're kind to share it with us occasionally. And she does these flips, and I was asking her about it, and she says, well, you kind of get high enough, and then you kind of just move your head down, and you go over. And everybody that I've talked to, well, you'll never see me doing a flip, but everyone I've talked to says the head leads and the body seems to follow, right? The body achieves what the mind believes. Your focus starts your walk. When our focus is off, it doesn't take long for the actions to follow. When our focus is on Christ, things step right into line. Now we start to break it down, and we're going to see a past, a present, and a future in regards to setting your mind on things above. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are earth. What tense is this? Present tense, right? This is now. This is the current. Keep your mind on things above. Let's look at the past for reference, for perspective, for learning from the past. What's the past reality? What is it? You died. You died to self. If you have been raised with Christ, that means that you've died to yourself. It's not about me anymore. When it was about me, it was sin and death and selfishness. If I'm in Christ, it's about Him. The past points to the reality that it's not about me. The focus is now Christ because I've died and my life is hidden with Christ in God. The past sheds light on the present. The future motivates us and drives us. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. What drove Michael Phelps? The gold medal. Did he have the gold medal when he was training? It was in the future. It was out there. It was the goal. Here's our goal. Here's our goal. When Christ, who is our life, appears, we also will appear with Him in glory. And you could look at this for hours, but let me say, the hurt, the pain, the struggle, when it's done for Christ in this world, will you ever regret it when you're with Him for eternity? Never. Never. For perspective, read 2 Corinthians, where Paul is listing out all the things that he had gone through and then talks about his focus was to run the race to achieve the prize. Philippians, he'll talk about it again. It's all worth it. if we're faithful to run in the present. Presently, set our minds on focus. Don't forget the past. The reality is it's not about me. That happened in the past. And don't keep don't lose sight of the prize, the gold medal that awaits those who faithfully walk in Him. It's powerful stuff. It's powerful stuff. Let me go back to one more point that I hope kind of brings up this past, present, future motivation. And that is, that's again a reality check. Have you ever met someone that's just oblivious to reality? You know, they live in their own world and they operate. Maybe it's because of paranoia. Maybe it's because of pride. They think they're more than they are. But when we see this, we sort of chuckle to ourselves. It's not a positive thing to be living out of reality and to be clueless. As a follower of Christ, our reality is here. And when we don't walk in Him, when we lose focus, we're out of touch with reality. And the focus, the reality for a believer, is a consistent, steady walk in Him. And we'll get to this, but remember last time, whose responsibility is it for accountability in this walk? What did we say? Remember the end of chapter 2? Whose job is it to keep and work with you and others on accountability? We better look at it because it sounds clueless. Let's look. Either that or you're just tired. But let's take a gander because it's very, very important. End of chapter 2. End of chapter 2. Are you there with me? I want you to see it as well. Sorry, I'm trying to run this thing. Verse 19. There are those that are, 18, puffed up without reason by sensuous minds and are not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. Whose responsibility is it to grow and help the growth around you? It's the body's. It's the body's. It's your job. It's my job to promote growth and encourage growth of those around you. This is a big deal. This is a very important part of the life. This is tough. We've got to be in it together. We've got to be in it as a team. And if we're not, it just makes it so overwhelming. So don't forget that this is not an individual sport, that this is a team activity, and we've got to be right there for each other. Keep the past in mind as you presently set your mind forward, looking to the prize in the future. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. More future motivation. More future motivation. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Here's the start of what will be achieved when the mind believes. When the mind's focused, here are some of the things that happen. And if you're looking for a report card for yourself, look at the things that will be put away. Now, the good news is we're going to talk about other things that will be added. But take a look at what will be put away. The things that will begin and consistently disappear from your walk will be sexual immorality. There'll be impurity. There'll be evil passion. I want to talk more about that in a second. Passion, as it says here. Evil desire and covetousness, which is idolatry. These are the things that need to go. Sexual immorality is huge. It is all around you. If you had the TV on this morning, you had sexual immorality put in front of your face. I'm almost convinced of it. It is everywhere. And understand, remember last or 2 weeks ago we talked about this is God's will for your life, your sanctification to be set apart. What's the very next line? Anyone know? This powerful statement of your life purpose. This is the will of God for your life, your sanctification, that you're set apart for God. What's the very next line? Anyone? Abstain from sexual immorality. Abstain from sexual immorality. And ideally, none of you are struggling with the physical act of sexual immorality, but don't forget that this goes so far beyond simply the physical act. This is your mind, and it's tied directly to impurity. Impurity. Sexual immorality can be present in our minds every single day if we allow it. We need purity. And let me challenge you. If you're regularly putting impure things in front of you, if you're regularly sensing impurity in your mind, choose that that ends today. Choose that this is the last time you allow yourself to be in that position. Whether that's through the internet, whether it's through what you're watching, whether it's through talk with others, it's got to stop. A mark of a focused life for Christ is purity. And there are no areas where you have a pass on that. It's tough, KT. I know it's tough. I live that with you. It's got to be done. And women, I'm told that your minds work differently than men. But remember that you have a purity of focus as well, a purity of thought as well, and fidelity and loyalty and clinging to our spouse and our spouse only, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, all part of purity, all part of purity. We have to be men and women that just insist on watching purity or impurity pass away and embracing a true, pure life. Everyone loves purity. When you take a glass of water, you want a pure glass of water, right? We understand and desire this. Now let's achieve. Let's achieve. Passion. Every other time that I found that passion is listed, it's in verses like 1 Corinthians where it talks about evil passion or lustful passion. Why doesn't it say here evil? Because I'm convinced that the whole context of this verse is worldly, evil way of thinking. So the passion we're talking about is not a zeal for the things of the Lord. This is the passion that's driven by the flesh. And this illustrates a golden point. Every automatic feeling that you have, every autopilot desire that you have, that is of the world, the flesh, or the devil. The world, the flesh, or the devil is constantly putting things in front of you. And remember, who's the flesh? I'm the flesh. I'm the flesh. I want, my natural cravings are for impurity. And so if there's a passion in me that is from natural sources, that's the kind of evil that has to be put away. Where should our passion come? Hold that thought. We're going to see that. Last one is pretty tough as well. Covetousness. Wanting something that someone else has. How do our kids summarize that? Do you remember? It's a cool phrase. I'll get that again. But they had a very clear, very elementary, very powerful way of summarizing what is covetousness. Anytime that I want something, anytime that my focus shifts to want something other than Christ, I'm in the covetousness zone. And how serious is covetousness? What is it? It's idolatry. It's putting something before God Himself. It's putting anything before God as far as our focus and our attention. That's how serious this issue of heavenly mindedness is. Every time we allow our mind to shift, what are we participating in? Idolatry. It's hardcore. God is serious about this stuff. And we'd freak if someone called us an idolater. That's serious stuff. That's what this focus is all about. Any and every time I focus, and you'll, again, I'm right there with you. I will struggle. I will fail because of my weakness. But each time that my focus is drawn away, that's idolatry. And let me say something here. God's standard is constant focus. But I'm convinced that His next best recommendation is that every time you're off, confess that and get it right back on there. Get that focus right back. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is a gracious, merciful job of God of second and third and fourth chances. Every time the focus slips, confess it and get it right on back there. These are the things you have to put aside. These are the things to be mindful of. As they creep in, as you see them in my life, remind me of them. As you sense them in your own, be faithful to say, oh, confess it, get the focus back. It's powerful and important stuff. Couple of sub-points. Why? Again, past, present, future. I think the Spirit of God uses that motivation. Learn from the past. Focus in the present. Look to the future. Well, one, the wrath of God is coming. This is the kind of thing that will suffer loss. Certainly for those that don't know Christ. We know that there's an eternal punishment waiting for those that don't know Christ, that live their lives in the earthly and refuse to embrace the spiritual reality of God and His offering to us. But, 1 Corinthians tells us, 2 Corinthians tells us that there will be a time where each believer stands before Jesus Christ Himself and gives an account. Will you be earning your salvation? Absolutely not. But you have an opportunity to give an account. And it said that the stuff I did that was earthly, what does it say about that? It's going to burn. Burn like wood, hay, straw. The wrath of God is coming. And while God will not be inflicting punishment on you because of your sin, Christ took care of that on the cross, I believe we'll suffer loss. We'll have hurt. We'll be so ticked at ourselves for missing that opportunity to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. The wrath of God is coming on unrighteousness, but I'll suffer loss and regret. Regrets may be the best way of putting it. For any of this that was allowed to linger in my life. Don't get me wrong. No punishment for sin for those who are in Christ. But I'm convinced regret for not taking the opportunity to focus and walk the walk more and more and more. So the future, the past, you used to walk in these. That's why it's so easy to return to the vomit, so to speak, right? That's why it's so easy, so natural to have all these things show up in my life, because that was the way it was. That was the part in my hair year after year after year. It went the same way towards garbage. And now that I'm a new creature, I'm supposed to go 180 degrees. Well, the old hair still wants to go that way. It's got to be different. God understands that you used to walk in it, that everything about you is bent towards this evil. You know what, though? It's still got to change. And that's the power of the Spirit of God. The power of the Spirit of God is that even though everything natural about us craves these things, He's given us opportunity to rise above. So the past, a reminder of the present. But now you must put on. You must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Make a note of these if you would. The top ones, very few of us disagree that those are the heavy hitters, right? Purity and covetousness. But I like how the Holy Spirit instructs Paul to subtly bring these others in that are a part of my life way too many days. Anger. Is there righteous anger? I'm sure there is, but mine is seldom righteous. Do we control our anger? How about our kiddos? Do our kiddos sense our controlled anger? Or does my frustration bubble out too often? Does my wife sense any anger from me? And is that of the old flesh or is that of the spirit? Make sure that the fleshly anger is done away with. Wrath, malice. Malice, I think, is lingering bitterness. Lingering bitterness. Are you holding on to anything in the past that you allow yourself to still be ticked about? We better be so careful that that is not the flesh dragging us down with bitterness. Obscene talk. We've got to be careful about this, men. Coarse jesting. I need you to challenge me on it, and I'll do the same. And I skipped one. Slander. Slander is a subtle but deadly one. Am I getting together with others and am I speaking negatively about others? Am I saying negative things? That's slander. We have to be so careful. So careful. So there's the big dogs that we understand, then there's the subtle ones that slip into my present life way too much. Those have to be put away also. Don't lie to one another. Don't lie to one another, seeing that you've put off the old self with its practices. I hope this helps you. It must have been 12 years ago now, maybe even 15 years ago, I attended a conference, and is it Josh McDowell? Is that his name? Josh McDowell, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, is that right? He was on stage talking, and he said, why do we tell our kids not to lie? And there's all kinds of answers, but the reality came back where? What is the true reason for not lying to one another? Remember, anything that we're told, any good commandment we're given is because of the, what? Person and nature of God, right? God's character guides everything. Well, who is Christ? Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. God is completely true, completely integral, completely consistent. And that's the standard. So lying to one another, we know it can be subtle. It can be subtle. And I struggle, maybe you struggle with half-truths, right? Let's take this to heart. Let's not lie to one another. Let's embrace truth. Now, let me clarify. Does that mean I have to say everything that comes to my mind in order to be truthful? No. A good friend of mine says, you can keep your mouth shut. That's not a lie. But truth is so vital. Put on the new self. So we looked at the old stuff that needs to be stripped away, the automatic stuff. Now here's the work. The work is putting on the new self. Put on the new self. Well, how do you do it? Here's the answer, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Renewed in knowledge. Renewed in knowledge. The mind needs to believe that focus on the Almighty is constant. How does that happen? Renewed knowledge. Take a look at Romans 12 with me. And seriously turn there because this is one that you got to keep a bookmark in. I've learned so much from these two verses. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Ideally, you have them memorized. If not, boy, these would be great verses to memorize. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I urge you, therefore, brothers, or I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Does that sound like walking the walk? Absolutely. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship, or others say your reasonable act of service. Do not be conformed to this world. Did we just talk about conformation to the world? Absolutely. And now we're moving into how you get away from that. Look at the next line. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What do we say about the old garbage? Do you have to learn that? It's automatic. It's the natural. It's what you'll go towards. We need to be transformed away from that. And how does it happen? By the renewing of your mind. The body achieves what the mind believes. And what does this verse tell us is the key to renewing our mind? What is the key? Knowledge, knowing, knowledge. Knowledge of what is right. Where does that come from? It's got to come from the Scripture. God's Word, God's living, active, powerful Word that's ready to challenge us and pierce us and show us the right way. That is the knowledge. And if we say we want this constant focus, but we neglect study of the Scripture, we're wasting our time. I'm weak. I'm going to return to my vomit because that's what's easy. If I'm going to renew the mind and focus, it's got to be through Scripture. Don't raise your hand. How'd you do in the last 2 weeks with daily time in the Word? Remember that was one of the challenges of 2 weeks ago? Daily time in the Word, even if it's a verse taped to your steering wheel. It's critical. It's critical. And if you struggled, let's get on track today. If you had victory, if you had growth in that, excellent. Keep going. It's key. It's huge. I'm weak, so I've set up a couple little things for myself. Maybe you want to do the same. I really enjoy all kinds of life, but one of the things I enjoy is providing for my family. I know that that's something that I'm called directly to do. So for me, one little thing that I've done is I've set up that before I allow myself to work, I got to spend time in the Word. And you know that sometimes that's a little verse. Sometimes it's a longer period. But whatever it is, it challenges me to keep the main thing the main thing. That if anything successful is going to come through the day, including providing for my family, it's only because God is blessing. And so by starting with the Word of God, that's my way of trying to overcome my weak feebleness. I urge you to put something in there for yourself. Is there something spiritual in that in its own? No. But do what you got to do to remember that the knowledge from the Word is going to drive any and all successful focus. You following me on that? Some say before I click on the TV, I'm going to make sure I've spent time in the Word. Others say before I eat, ooh, that's hardcore. Before I eat physically, I'm going to eat spiritually. Whatever you have to do, put it in place, starting today or tomorrow morning, so that we've got that knowledge to renew the mind, so that we've got a fighting chance at this focus. Powerful verses, powerful concepts. There is hope. There's hope for the recovering selfish one. And that's by renewing the mind, literally having our mind think differently. You've heard of the washing of regeneration by the Word? It cleans up the way we think. It makes focus on the Almighty so much better and easier. Don't neglect the Word. Again, the old will attack you. You have to put that away. You have to actively resist what's easy, what's natural, what comes to you first. And instead, you have to intentionally put on the new self. See the subtlety there? Anything that happens automatic, most chances, it's got to be checked at least, if not rejected. It's the struggle. It's the proactive way that we live in the Spirit that leads to victory. Again, renewed in the knowledge after its Creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. This is to say we are all in this together. We are very different people from incredibly different backgrounds. Our country is halfway decent at realizing that we're a great salad bowl or a great melting pot of enormous diversity and culture. But we know that we let our differences slow us down. We know that we let our differences get in the way of our love and care for each other. That has to stop. It's hard enough to keep the focus. Don't let the petty differences. That's what these things were during their times. It was a Jew versus a not a Jew. And there could have been division and looking down on each other. Can't be the case. Circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free. Christ is all and in all. We are united in Christ. We got to live that out. Again, actively put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility. How did Christ show His humility? Emptied Himself. It says, consider others better than yourselves. That's humility. Christie's needs are more important, literally, than my own. Meekness. Meekness is a cool word. My dad taught me this. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not weakness. You are incredibly strong individuals. Very strong-minded. That needs to be controlled. And think of a stallion with all its power. But when that stallion is properly trained, that power is bridled and controlled. That's meekness. Be strong, but be controlled in our strength. You can have a great motivational speech, but that means that your tongue is words away from cutting someone to the heart if it's not controlled. Meekness is controlled strength. And the last one, hate it, but gotta love it, patience. Patience. It's huge. Very, very important. Don't forget, everything about our society opposes patience. When do we want things? Now. Instant gratification. Resist it. Patience is of the Spirit. Bearing with one another. Back to the reality, we're in this together. Bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all these things, put on love. It's been said that love covers. Love is the reason that you give the people you really care about the benefit of the doubt when you get really ticked at someone else for doing the exact same thing. I'm sure in your marriages, you've had your husband or your wife chew you out for something that their brother and sister does constantly, right? Love covers. Our affections, our loyalties cover up this garbage, and it doesn't bug me so much when I love the person. I would challenge you that if you're really irritated, check whether or not there's love at the center of your heart and your feelings towards that individual. Because we give each other, when we love each other, we give each other the benefit of the doubt all the time. Ethan and I have talked about this. I'll wrong him regularly. Hopefully little things, but there's been big things too. And I can screw up and forget to tell him something I needed to tell him, forget to check with him on something that I should have known to check with him. But because he loves me, it's seldom a big deal to him. He forgives me and we move on. Why? Because he loves me. But if someone that ticks me off does that, oh, they're going to get the wrath, right? Love covers. Put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let the peace. Peace is so needed these days, but so far away. But let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Be thankful. It wouldn't hurt at all to take inventory this afternoon. Take inventory of your thoughts. The thoughts that come into your mind, are they thankful thoughts or are they complaining thoughts? The mind automatically goes to complaining and bitterness and frustration and negativity. We need to train it and renew it and get it in the habit of thankfulness. And you've seen it twice already. We're going to see it again in the next verse. Thankfulness is key. It's so important. See some of you nodding off. We'll keep moving. I talked to Jess. We're getting a church taser, by the way. If anyone sleeps, it's going to shoot out those wires and wake you up. So look forward to that. 16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. We've already touched on it. How are we going to be renewed? By the Word of Christ. Let it dwell in you richly. Don't kid yourself in this one. Don't let anyone else give you some external amount of time in the Word. Be real. You know I know when we're letting the Word of Christ dwell in us. I'm convinced we got to get memorizing. It's hard work. It's probably the hardest spiritual discipline. But regular memorization, in my two cents, is about the only way to let it dwell in you richly. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Here's a challenge. I challenge you to memorize the first six verses of Colossians 3. First six verses. Why did I pick that? Because I got it memorized already. I'm done. No, I'll pick another one. But choose to memorize. Give yourself 2, 3, 4 weeks, whatever you need. But let's memorize together. Because that's a shot at letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And the more I've memorized, when I've been consistent in it, guess what pops to my head at the times where I need it? The Word of Christ. If we want to be real about this walk and about this focus, we'll memorize, we'll let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. Again, admonishing one another. When you're together, make sure that it's God's wisdom, God's psalms, God's hymns, God's spiritual songs. And again, with what in your hearts? With what in your hearts? Thankfulness. And the cap, the summary, the checkpoint. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. If you want or need a check, search the motivation on every thought, every action. If the motivation is for Christ, then it's where it needs to be. If it's for self, or even to please others alone, then it's out of whack. Here's the ultimate test. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. We've got an opportunity. We've got an opportunity to get our minds right, to believe, so that the walk, the body, will achieve. And it needs to start today. It needs to start today. If you're interested, we're having a real casual gathering out at my place this evening. Outside, throw some hot dogs or something on the grill. But if you'd want to come, it might be a fun chance to be together, to encourage each other, to talk about these things a little more. We'd love to have you. We'd love to welcome you to come and just casually hang out as a family. But the bottom line is we've got a huge opportunity, a real cool chance to get our minds right and let the walk follow.